Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to you, and thanks for joining me on this Wednesday edition of our program. I'm thrilled that you're with me here at the Midpoint, because we're continuing to listen to Derek Prince talk about the old self and the new self. Let me ask you something. Do you sometimes find yourself being incredibly rude, so rude that you shock yourself? Do you find yourself feeling just a rebellious, angry thing about everybody from bosses to pastors to spouses to policemen on the road? Do you find yourself just wanting to bust out of any kind of constraint and sort of irritated in your soul? I want to suggest that when you feel that, that's the old man beginning to try to dominate your life. He's that rebellious terrorist in your soul who's trying to blow up your Christian life and take over and dominate for destructive purposes. That's what Derek is teaching us about. That's what he's shining a light on. And you have come to this program for such a time as this, because the Word of God is going to set you free. Let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about the old self and the new self.
In my two previous talks this week, I've dealt with the origin and nature of the old self. Briefly, I'll recapitulate the process of degeneration which produces the old self. The old self is the product of deception, that is, of Satan's lie, that which denies the truth of God's word. Deception, in turn, produces lust, that is, perverted, harmful desires. Lust, when we yield to it, produces sin, and sin, when it takes its course, produces death. So that's the degenerative process of the old self. The old self has two distinctive marks. First of all, it's corrupt spiritually, morally, and physically. Secondly, it's a rebel. Yesterday, I explained that God's solution for the old self is execution. Paul says this in Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that is, Jesus, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That's the only way of escape from the slavery of sin, to realize that your old self was executed when Jesus died on the cross. Now today, we're going to look at the opposite side of the coin, the new man. I'm going to explain to you the nature and origin of the new man. We'll go back again to the passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, which pictures both the old self and the new self. Paul says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now we're going to analyze that last phrase about the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. This brings out four main aspects of the new self. First of all, it's produced by a creative act of God. It's not something that man can ever produce by his own efforts, by religion, or good works, or legalism, or anything of that nature. It depends on a creative act of God. Secondly, the creative act of God proceeds out of the truth, that is, the truth of God's word. It's exactly opposite to the old self, which is the product of Satan's lie. So we have lie and truth set in opposition to one another. Thirdly, the nature of the new self is described in the two words righteousness and holiness. And fourthly, Paul says that it's in the likeness of God, but the alternative reading for that in the margin is according to the purpose of God. Each is legitimate, and I believe Paul includes both meanings. The new self is created according to God's original purpose for man. And in the new self, God's likeness is restored. So let me just sum up those four aspects of the new man. First, he's produced by a creative act of God. Secondly, he's the product of the truth of God's word as opposed to the deception of Satan's lie which produces the old self. Thirdly, the nature of the new self is summed up in the words righteousness and holiness. Fourthly, the new self fulfills God's original purpose in creation, which is to reproduce God's likeness. We can compare with this what Paul says about the old self and the new self in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Notice once again that lying is the primary manifestation of the old self. He's the product of the devil's lie, and he's a liar by nature. But, Paul goes on, you have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Let's look at the aspects of the new self which Paul brings out in this passage in Colossians. First of all, we notice, as I've already said, that the old man is once again associated with lies. He's the product of the devil's lie, and he's a liar. And lying is a mark of the old nature. Lying never proceeds from the new nature. You remember Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. Secondly, in this passage in Colossians, Paul points out that the new man is being progressively renewed. In Ephesians, he emphasized the act of creation. But in Colossians, he emphasizes the process of being renewed. After creation, there's an ongoing process of renewing. And then in Colossians, Paul states the two end purposes for the new self. First, the true knowledge of God. He's to come back into the true knowledge of God. And secondly, again, he uses the word the image of his Creator, God's likeness. Let's sum up those three aspects of the new self. Or those two aspects of the new self stated in Colossians. First of all, he's being progressively renewed. Secondly, he's fulfilling the two end purposes of God, that is, the true knowledge of God and the restoration of God's image or God's likeness.
You know, I love that Derek Prince came from an earlier generation of minister who wasn't filled with psychobabble and a lot of soft answers. What's his answer for the old man? Kill him. Kill him now, kill him fast. That's what we need to be doing. So much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Few have had a deeper appreciation of what Christ accomplished through his death and resurrection than Derek Prince. Through his teaching, countless believers around the world have learned to walk in greater levels of freedom, power, and peace because of the depth of that revelation. Now there's a Derek Prince resource that will help you better understand the fullness of your redemption in Christ. It's Derek's booklet, The Divine Exchange. In The Divine Exchange, Derek brings us a complete and panoramic picture of what Jesus paid an awful price to obtain for us. Once you read it, you'll be better equipped to live more freely, more fully, and more powerfully than ever before. That's why we want you to have a copy, free and postage paid, as our gift to you. Simply call 1-800-448-3261 and request your copy of The Divine Exchange. The call and the booklet are both free. That's 1-800-448-3261. 1-800-448-3261.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I hope that you've been with us all this week as we've been talking about the old man and the new man. We've just heard that the answer for the old man is to kill him and kill him fast. But the answer for the new man is to feed him with the Word of God so that we can become the people we're called to be in Jesus. Let's listen.
Now I'm going to deal with the question, how is the new man produced? First of all, he's produced by a birth. In John 1, 12 and 13, we read these words, "But as many as received him," that's Jesus, "to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." We take the key phrase in the last verse, it is, born of God. So that's the first statement about the origin of the new man. He's born of God. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." There, the birth is described as being born of water and of the Spirit. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Peter says this, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God." So we see that it's the new self is the product of a birth. He's born of God through being born of water and of the Spirit, and through receiving the imperishable seed of God's Word. We can sum it up this way. As we receive God's Word by faith and obey it, God's Spirit brings forth within us the very nature of God, divine, incorruptible, eternal. The seed was divine, incorruptible, and eternal, the seed of God's Word. The nature which it brings forth is likewise divine, incorruptible, and eternal. We can take this just one step further. In Scripture, Jesus himself is called the Word of God. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, this title is used three times in the one verse. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." To whom does that refer? It refers to the one who was manifested in time and in human flesh as Jesus of Nazareth. Again, in Revelation 19 and verse 13, we have a description of Jesus returning to the earth in glory and power to reign. And this is what it says. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So Jesus is the Word of God. The gospel or the scripture is the Word of God. The gospel is the preached word. Jesus is the living word. And there's a direct relationship between the two. When we receive and believe and obey the preached word, the gospel, the scripture, it's a seed. And that seed brings forth in us, by an operation of the Holy Spirit, through our obedience, a new nature, the new self. And this nature is like the seed which brought it forth. It's divine, it's eternal, it's imperishable or incorruptible. You'll see here the basic difference. The old self is essentially corrupt. The new self is incorruptible. It's the very nature of God coming out of the seed of God's Word. And that seed of the preached Word of God, received and believed in our hearts, brings forth the nature and ultimately the very person of the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is so clearly expressed by Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Where he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." There we see both sides of the coin, God's program for the old self and God's program for the new self. First of all, the old self has to be executed. But he was executed when Christ died on the cross. Our old self was crucified with him. So Paul states this as an accomplished fact of history. I have been crucified with Christ. I, my old self. But he says, I continue to live, but it's no longer I, the old self, that's living in me, but it's the new self, it's the very nature and person of Jesus, reproduced in me as I believed and received the preached Word of God, the divine, eternal, incorruptible seed of God's Word, that produces in me the very nature of God's Son, Jesus.
You know the great news about what Derek is teaching? It is that as we slay the old man and feed the new, the Holy Spirit rushes in to empower us to live that life that Paul describes as Christ living in us. Listen just ahead, a wonderful story about a man who transitioned from the old man to the new man as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Few have had a deeper appreciation of what Christ accomplished through his death and resurrection than Derek Prince. Through his teaching, Countless believers around the world have learned to walk in greater levels of freedom, power, and peace because of the depth of that revelation. Now there's a Derek Prince resource that will help you better understand the fullness of your redemption in Christ. It's Derek's booklet, The Divine Exchange. In The Divine Exchange, Derek brings us a complete and panoramic picture of what Jesus paid an awful price to obtain for us. Once you read it, you'll be better equipped to live more freely, more fully, and more powerfully than ever before. That's why we want you to have a copy, free and postage paid, as our gift to you. Simply call 1-800-448-3261 and request your copy of The Divine Exchange. The call and the booklet are both free. That's 1-800-448-3261. 1-800-448-3261.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Joining me in the studio today is Christopher Selby, executive producer of our program, who sometimes comes to us with some really great testimony. You've got one today, don't you, Chris?
Thank you, Stephen. Yes, absolutely. One of the great privileges of my job is to be able to come in here and chat with you about some great stories, incredible things that people have told us about what God is doing in their lives. And we get emails and letters and phone calls all the time back at the Derek Prince Ministries office. And it's definitely a real perk of my job. And, you know, a couple days ago, we heard from Nicole McGarity about what God did in her life through my grandfather's teaching on breaking generational curses. But it didn't stop there. God did some amazing things in the life of her husband as well. And I have to say, I'm doubly blessed through this because I know these people. They're friends of mine. I've seen what God has done in their lives. And we're going to hear now from Ben's own lips what God did in his life in overcoming the struggle he had with alcoholism.
Came from the Brady Bunch kind of family. You know, great mom, dad, real involved, family life. I think the label on me was always mischievous. I kind of had my first taste of alcohol when I was 15. I kind of had two forces of nature working against me. Both my grandfathers were alcoholics. It kind of put its hooks in me. Thought I was just a regular kid in high school. Just the normal, you know, like to party on Friday, Saturday nights. But looking back on it now, I could always see where alcohol was very important to me. Instead of just going out and having a good time, alcohol had to be part of it. My parents, they thought there might have been a problem when I was about 17 or 18. So they sent me to a little place here in town. They did an evaluation, and they felt like maybe there was something going on, that maybe I needed some help with it. As a typical 18-year-old, I think I just kind of rebelled. I went through the motions. I remember distinctly going to meetings, you know, leaving the AA meetings and going out drinking with the guys that I had met in AA. But, you know, I did what I had to do till people stopped hounding me about it. Then, in a great move, I joined the Marine Corps. Got married young, a lot of stress in my life. I was quick to turn to alcohol. I got in some trouble in the Marine Corps, alcohol-related trouble, and the Marine Corps had their brand of AA. So I went through the motions in the Marine Corps' AA program, did what I had to do to get by with that, dealt with some anger issues. After years in the Marine Corps, I moved back to Charlotte. This time we had two kids. Drinking was probably getting worse at this time. You know, I thought I was just living a normal life. My wife was on me about getting a handle on my drinking. For her, I did some things with AA here locally, going through the motions, and I tried to become a weekend drinker. You know, it was like a time bomb all week, you know, saving up. So Saturdays and Sundays were never too much fun around my house, and, you know, they were kind of a blur on the weekends. I remember going to a ball game, October 22nd of 2000, and we had an obligation at church, and I remember going out there thinking that I was going to have a couple beers at the ball game. No big deal. That would be, you know, wouldn't affect me too bad. Well, that didn't happen. It was, I remember after two beers, walking back down to the concession area, having an inner struggle with myself, thinking, this is not a good move. Just, you know, I was kind of at war with myself, and I don't know how many beers later, it was a pretty bad deal. I went home. I was oblivious to everything, and something inside just didn't feel right. I had always tried to set goals for myself and live up to them, and this was one time that I set a goal and I failed. Everything just started kind of hitting me at one time. My wife just had the look of disappointment, and I remember going out on my porch late in the afternoon. I just started getting overwhelmed with these feelings that, you know, a lot of shame and guilt. And I distinctively remembered I had this feeling on the top of my head, like somebody was like tapping me on my head. And I heard this voice, just as clear as a bell, tell me I needed to quit drinking. And there was nobody else outside. It was just me. And this voice, you know, the running joke with me when I was little, you know, I was always just a hard-headed kid. And it was like, God was telling me, I'm going to penetrate this hard head and tell you, you've got to quit drinking. And I called my grandmother. She had always prayed for me, and, you know, she had dealt with an alcoholic husband, my grandfather. I just needed to talk to somebody that I knew that wouldn't, you know, wouldn't judge me. Or, you know, when I called her, she was, you know, I told her, I think I'm going to go to AA, and I'm going to see about, you know, I want to quit drinking. And I grabbed the Yellow Pages, looked up, I just called AA, a hotline they had. They asked me where I lived. They told me where the nearest meeting was. And I remember going that night to an AA meeting. And for the first time, I was going for myself. The first time I went for my parents. The second time, I went for the Marine Corps. The third time, I went for my wife. And all three of those times, I failed. And when I finally did it for the right reason, because I wanted to change, it was a difference. And that was a day I'll never forget. And, you know, with God's help, here I am more than 6.5 years later, still sober. I knew after hearing that audible voice that when I went through AA, they talk about a higher power. And I knew that I was doing this through Him coming out the other side of this alcoholism. It's definitely affected the way I view life. It's almost like a set of dark glasses were removed. And, you know, I just had a whole different outlook on life, my family, my relationships. Everything just had a different view to it.
You know, Krister, it strikes me as I listen to this testimony, which is so inspiring, that many Christians might not call themselves alcoholics, but they've got an increasing problem with alcohol. I mean, I know a lot of believers who have sort of gotten freed up from, you know, the earlier generation's restraints on consuming alcohol as believers, but now they found themselves in a real crisis, and it's thrilling to see this broken in this young man's life.
Absolutely, and I would say, you know, whatever your struggle in life might be, whether it's alcohol or whether it's pride or whether it's, you know, unclean thoughts or whatever it might be, you know, there is freedom available in that, that you don't have to struggle with this on your own. And God has certainly not asked us to figure this out by ourselves. And that's one of the things that we are here to do. We want to be able to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, as the word says. And the resource that we have available this week called the Divine Exchange, I think, is perfect for that. And all people have to do is go online to derekprince.org and request a copy of that, and we'll send it to them free and postage paid. And I think it'd be a real blessing.
There's also on the website this week a video clip of Derek, which very much parallels the topic that we've been hearing about. So it's an exciting thing.
That's right.
Krister, great having you with us.
Thank you, Stephen.
Listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To get your copy of Derek's booklet, The Divine Exchange, free of charge, call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take a moment now to request your free copy of The Divine Exchange, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy securely online at derekprince.org, where you'll find other helpful resources, including Derek's biography. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.